Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of Smooth Traffic. You're listening to Rob, and as usual, I'll be joined by John and Ben in this episode. But the reason it's only me at the moment is because Johnny's had one of his classic technology blunders. So when we actually recorded the podcast a few days ago, he somehow managed to not save the intro that we recorded, or the sign-off either. What that means is that, now that I've done the editing, I was left with no start and finish, so you're stuck listening to me. So sorry about that, but if you've got a complaint, tweet Johnny, at TheJohnnyEdge. Anyway, in this episode, we have got a fax from one of the most important beings in the universe. We've got John doing a range of 30-second car reviews, because he's driven a lot recently. We've also got a rant from Johnny. I won't spoil it for you now, but as usual, he gets heated. And Ben has tried his hand at a quiz.
So, as you know, we like to answer fax questions on Smooth Traffic that have been faxed into our London Highgate offices on a fax machine, the world's most indestructible piece of technology that has ever been made, and it has scientifically been around since the Victorian times. And today's fax is from someone called God, actually. quite an important chap. You can actually follow God on or off Twitter, depending on your preference. but if it is on Twitter, you can tweet him at the tweet of God. And God has sent out a tweet, basically, asking his followers, and there is many of them across the world, about this scenario, basically. But he's asked us directly, because obviously, if God's got a problem, who does he come to? Smooth Traffic. So, the question is, well, actually, before I do the question, I should tell you that the name of this segment today...
This is going well.
The name of this segment today is Ask Fax. Fax machines are the cockroaches of technology. Oh my god.
John's having a meltdown already. We're less than 2 minutes into recording.
This is worse than when you asked whether my car was still on the road, Ben.
Right, okay. Christ.
Get to the question, come on.
Okay, so the question is, should bacon be a plant?
Yes.
And if so, which are the best plants bacon can be? And which the worst plants bacon can be? Oh, Christ, that was funny as hell. Oh, my God.
So, for the sake of King's waistline, I think maybe the bacon should go on a stinging nettle tree.
So on a stinging nettle tree?
Yep.
Is that an accurate plant?
That's not Titchmarsh verified, is it?
Bacon's not a real plant, is it, King?
The stinging nettle tree?
Yes. So when the bacon's growing and you're trying to eat it with your face,
we'll give you like a
it's at
rash.
Least got some defences for you not devouring the entire population of bacon trees.
That's a good point, actually, because at the moment bacon doesn't have any defences. If you start making it into a plant, such as one of those shit-flinging plants that you get in the jungle, it's going to get real messy, isn't it? It's going to get really difficult. The thing is, there's a fine line here, because you don't want grass to be bacon, because when you do a slide tackle in football, you'll get all greasy. And you don't want it to be a shit-flinging jungle plant, because then it's going to be a nightmare to get bacon, it's going to be so expensive, and you might get shit on you as well. So
same with like a cactus. It'd be difficult to grow, because it wouldn't be local to the UK. You'd have to import your spiky bacon.
I think a spiky bacon, yeah, I mean, that's a potential problem right there, isn't it? And also, if you're lost in the desert and you're wandering through the desert and you think you might be able to crack open a cactus for some water and you find it's just belly pork...
Which, to be fair, is quite salty and would make you thirstier. So this is, you haven't thought this through.
You'd end up just licking the cactus, wouldn't you? You'd be wrong. Just be all wrong. I mean, I think it should be something very, very straightforward, like...
An apple tree.
Yeah. That's a good shout.
Orchards with bacon hanging down.
Yeah.
Is it streaky bacon or back bacon? Or is it just all bacon?
Oh, no, no, sorry. I meant that the apple tree still grows apples, but the tree itself is made out of bacon.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Oh, so you like peel the bark
so
off
you,
and it's bacon.
So you pick, yeah, you pick the apples. That's when you know the tree's ripe, because the apples are ready to come off.
Pork and apple. I like what you've done.
Then you take a branch off. Bacon.
Intriguing.
Or
nice. Could apples be apple sauce instead?
That were filled with pork instead. Bacon-filled apples.
But what if you just want it in a bagel for breakfast? Yeah. You'd have to peel the apple to get to the bacon. You're overthinking this, King. Overcomplicating it.
What if I'm going to try and solve two problems with one correction here?
Two problems we probably didn't realise we had before this fax came in.
What if the bacon is oak trees?
Okay.
Because oak trees are really good for the environment. They give off lots and lots of oxygen, so everyone can breathe stuff in all the time, which is, you know, handy. And the more oak trees we have, the more bacon we can get off the oak trees, because with oak trees, they live for a very long time.
But the trouble is, we'd want to eat them, and then they would die out. And secondly, if I made all of my furniture out of bacon, it would be a very productive house.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, but you could use, I mean, you don't have to use oak for furniture, do you? You could always use, like, pine or mahogany. Or you could just use marble.
But then what are they now? Are they, like, you know, is that gammon for pine? You know, is anything else being substituted in here?
Well, no, it's only bacon.
It's only bacon, yeah.
That's the question.
It's not raining donuts or anything.
No.
Oh, I imagine that.
Is gammon bacon, actually?
I assume it's a different cut, isn't it?
Where is the bacon from? It's either the leg or the belly, isn't it?
The pig.
Somewhere between the teeth and the tail.
Glad you did that butchery apprenticeship, King. That's coming really useful. What if the bacon wasn't ordinary grass? What if it was that weird grass you get that grows amongst the grass but isn't all of the grass? It's kind of...
What are you talking about?
There's a different type of grass that grows with grass, but it's not actually grass. But it is the grass because it's inside the grass, but it's often not really the grass. It looks like...
It sounds like you've been smoking some grass.
It looks like lettuce. And it...
Are you talking about dandelions?
No. They look like ghost apples.
Do you mean rocket?
Rocket? I don't know if No, I don't think... No, because rocket you have in salads, don't you?
Yes.
Nobody has grass in salads. It's like a type of grass, I think. But it's not actually
cress.
Grass. So, no, it's not cress, because cress grows only in secondary school science departments or the supermarket. No, it's oh, I don't know what it's called, but it kind of looks like a sort of fluffier grass, and it's kind of like got multiple like leaves on it, but it's very small and it's amongst the grass. But if you had that instead
pretty
of...
sure you're talking about dandelions.
It's not dandelions, I think. But then you would have just isolated patches of bacon on grass that you could then harvest and, you know, not have to worry about doing a two-footed tackle and getting yourself covered in grease. That would be my solution to it anyway. It's much better than Ben's solution.
I don't know why you have to think about it, really. Are you talking about clover?
Yeah, it might be called clover, actually. That rings
Isn't
clover.
That a brand of butter?
Yeah. Yeah,
imagine that with
well.
The bacon. Ooh.
I mean, that could work, Johnny. But then, what if a dog pisses on my bacon? I just think it needs to be high up.
Yeah, but then birds can still shit on it.
True.
But to be fair...
Just keep it in the pig.
Oh, birds. I thought you said bears, then. I thought you'd adopted a bit of a northern twang and said burrs.
Burrs.
I thought, why would bears be shitting on the bacon? Just so you know, gammon is the hind leg of pork.
Oh, okay. So is that bacon?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Where's bacon from?
I told you where bacon's from. Bacon is predominantly pork belly or occasionally back cuts, whereas gammon is specifically the hind leg.
So when someone says baby's got back...
Bacon. Baby's got back bacon.
Talk to me about Parma ham.
Yeah, King, actually, could you just Google Parma ham and tell everyone in the audience what Parma ham is? Because Parma ham... When you're a... There's sort of an ongoing joke about in the motoring journalism scene whereby if you turn up to an event, wherever it is in the world, there will be three things waiting for you. There'll be Wi-Fi, coffee and Parma ham. Those three things are always present at any stop in a motoring launch or event. They're always there. Nobody really knows why. And there's always loads of Parma ham as well. And you just have to eat buckets of it. It's probably taken years off my life, to be honest. But yeah, where's it from, King?
Well, Parma ham's just prosciutto, isn't it?
Don't know.
Specifically from...
That's what I'm asking you.
Parma. As far as I'm aware.
Is it? Or is prosciutto different?
Let's have a look. Here we go. Under the Common Agricultural Policy of the European Union, certain well-established meat products, including some local prosciutto, are covered by a protected designation of origin and other less stringent designations of geographical origin for traditional specialities. Various regions have their own PDO, whose specifications do not in general require ham from free-range pigs.
Ben, this isn't explaining what it is.
The two famous types of Italian prosciutto crudo are prosciutto crudo di Parma, from Parma, and prosciutto crudo di San Daniele, from the San Daniele di Friuli.
Should we just start the next segment?
You just asked me to talk about fucking Parma ham! So I found out about fucking Parma ham!
I don't think you've done a very good job of explaining what it is, King, to be honest.
A basic sandwich served in some European cafes and bars consists of prosciutto and a croissant.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A little bit of cheese in there as well. Otherwise it's a little bit dry. You know what I'm saying?
So there we go. Prosciutto is an Italian dry cured ham that is usually thinly sliced and served uncooked.
Is it
the
aged?
The style is called prosciutto crudo.
Salted to preserve it?
Yeah, is it salted? Aged? Is it like hung? Is it like dried slightly? I always think it feels like it's dried.
Is it well hung?
The ham is cleaned, salted and left for about 2 months. During this time it is pressed gradually and carefully so as to avoid breaking the bone, to drain all blood left in the meat. Next it is washed several times to remove the salt and is hung in a dark, well-ventilated environment. Surrounding air is important to the final quality of the ham, and the best results are obtained in a cold climate. The ham is then left until dry. The time this takes varies depending on the local climate and size of the ham. When the ham is completely dry, it is hung to air, either at room temperature or in a controlled environment for up to 18 months.
So bacon should be grass then, we think.
Done.
Yeah, why not?
Nailed it. I mean, we can put up with being greasy.
Thanks for sending in the facts, God. That's very kind.
Thanks, God. Keep up the good work.
So we thought we'd mix things up a bit this week, and John has driven quite a lot of cars in the last 3-4 weeks, maybe longer. And so in the style of our SMMT 30 second roundups, we're going to give him 30 seconds to talk about each of the cars that he's driven recently. So Johnny, you ready?
I am ready, love.
Ben, are you ready?
Yeah, why not?
Excellent. Well, you and I can switch off, and John, you will have 30 seconds to talk about each of these cars.
Are you timing or am I?
Yeah, who's timing it?
You can do the timing if you like, Ben.
Right then. Lucky for you.
When I say go, you click start.
Okay. And when I click start, Johnny, you start, all right? I think we've smashed this.
I will smash this. Watch this. This is going to be brilliant.
This cannot go wrong.
Nope.
So, first up, the Alfa Romeo Stelvio. Johnny, go.
I've pressed start, Johnny.
If you like the Porsche Macan, but you can't afford a Porsche Macan, buy the Alfa Romeo Stelvio because it's the best handling SUV you can buy. It's comfortable, it's luxurious, it's got a fantastic interior, it's got a great selection of engines, but most importantly, it handles like a dream. It's a sporty SUV you can enjoy driving all of the time if you want to.
You've peaked too soon, you've got 10 seconds.
Don't care. Finished.
Okay. Good. Next.
Right. Next one, Johnny. The Alfa Romeo Giulia Veloce. 3, 2, 1, go.
The best handling compact executive saloon on the market. 280 brake horsepower engine, 2 litre 4-cylinder turbo. Sad face. Not much character, but there you go. Great to drive. Decent fuel economy. Fantastic automatic gearbox. Very comfortable to sit in on long journeys. And it's the most beautiful saloon out there. So, you know what? Buy one instead of a 3 Series. Finished.
Cool. It's 26 seconds in. Well done.
Oh, he's getting better.
He is.
You've got to learn to fill the airtime, John. You'll never get on the radio like that.
You didn't even tell us what colour it was.
And we're out of time, so... Next up
right.
is the exciting Mercedes-Benz Vito. 3, 2, 1, go.
I can't tell you exactly why I love the Mercedes-Benz Vito, but I have just fallen in love with it, and I don't know why. It's very comfortable, it's got a great engine, so it's efficient, 45 miles per gallon. It's got lovely little Mercedes touches in the interior which make it feel a bit more special. But there are lots of reasons why I shouldn't like it, but I don't. I absolutely love it, and I'm not really sure why. I just really, really like the Vito. and I'm going to be a bit sad when it goes home tomorrow.
Very. How big's the boot?
I think it was 12 cubic metres.
Ooh. Metery.
Yeah.
Time.
Don't quote me on that, though, because I haven't got me...
Nope, we're done now.
Could
can't
you
talk
fit
about
an entire person
again.
In the boot? I say boot.
You can't ask him follow-up right. questions.
Well, I'm excited. Might be a good Wix car for the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be, actually.
Right. Next.
The Mazda CX-5.
Saucy.
4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Chicken tikka masala, but prepared in entirely the wrong way. Chicken tikka masala is a brilliant, brilliant dish. Absolutely fantastic. It's got all the flavours, it's got everything you want. But this is a chicken tikka masala crumble, because Mazda have decided to not turbocharge the engine, which means you have to rev the shit out of it to get it to go anywhere, which is not really what you want from an SUV. So it goes from being a big comfortable SUV with a beautiful interior to being a big comfortable SUV with a beautiful interior. You have to rev the shit out of to go anywhere, and that completely ruins the whole thing. Tikka masala crumble.
Time. See, my Mazda 3 is the same. It's got a 2-litre petrol. It's naturally aspirated, so no turbo. But for a car of that size, it's quite nice. You know,
yeah.
It works, but I could see it being a pain in the ass in a bigger car. You know, because ours is a small
Mazda
car.
Don't believe in turbos, do they?
They don't believe in turbos, but they will soon, because I will tell them they have to.
I mean, they're obviously avid listeners of Smooth Traffic, so they'll probably take on board what you've just said.
Yeah.
And change
Gary Mazda
about their business.
Gary Mazda.
Yeah, he's a big listener. He'll be there. Mazda's chief engineer and owner and inventor. Tweet him at Mazda Gary.
Right. Next up, the Land Rover Discovery Sport.
Oh, Land Rover Discovery Sport, great car, really,
Three,
really comfortable.
3, 2, 1, go.
Great car, really, really comfortable. 4x4, obviously, you can go anywhere, do anything. It's got a really it's just
underwater.
High quality, basically. Can it what?
Go underwater.
No, that's a submarine.
Don't lie then.
But yeah, great infotainment system, great comfortable seats, great engine. But don't get the manual, get the automatic, because the manual spoils it a bit.
Really?
Finished. Easy. What's next
right.
one?
The next one, Johnny, is the Jaguar. That's X-ray Foxtrot.
Oh yeah.
For all you phonetic alphabet fans.
Army people.
Sport break.
If you're a phonetic alphabet fan, tweet Robert King at Robert King ESQ.
I thought you were going to try and do it then.
I thought we could.
Is that were you stumped by at? Oh, what's the phonetic for at?
For sat.
Right.
Let yourself down there, Ben.
On your marks, get set, go!
Big, comfortable saloon, but with an estate body, so not really a saloon. There you go. Massive arse, very big, very comfortable, very luxurious. I'm just a bit worried about the XF Sport Break because it's uglier and not as attractive in general as perhaps an E-Class estate or a 5 Series estate. A bit worried about you, XF Sport Break. I think you might not be long for the world, actually. Scary times.
Time. So, why would you be worried if it's not very good? If people don't like it?
It is a good car. The problem is, it's got a massive arse and it doesn't particularly look very well styled. And the E-Class and the A6 estate and the other one I mentioned are probably more attractive packages. So it's a good car, but I think it might get scrapped.
Just not good enough.
Oh, sorry. No follow-up questions, Ben. Oh. Damn.
Yeah, Ben, that was an illegal move. Get in the book. You're going to get a fucking voucher in a minute as well if you're not careful.
Next on the list is the Peugeot 508, which we previously discussed, and I'm pretty sure if you just go back to the last episode, rather than listening to what John's about to say, Ben and I basically summed up what he thought of the car, and now he's going to tell you some lies. So, 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, I'm going to spend most of this 30 seconds talking about what a pair of bellends you two are. Absolutely massive bellends. The new 508 is the new face of Peugeot, basically. It's the part of the new French Revolution, along with the 3008 and the other one. And they're really, really great, exciting new French cars. Great new design, great engines, very, very comfortable, and a very exciting time to be looking into buying a French car at the moment. Keep a close eye on this one.
Why would anyone be looking to buy a French car?
Because they want to be the cool kids, Ben.
No one's cool.
Buy them now before Brexit.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Well done, Johnny.
I smashed that, didn't I?
Yeah, it was alright.
You were under time.
I think this month as well, I have got another Mazda to test. And tomorrow I'm getting a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, which is the largest Mercedes-Benz. And when that goes back, I'm getting Mercedes-Benz X-Class in, the pickup truck, the new Mercedes pickup truck. So, nice. Yeah,
is that a 6x6?
That is a 9x9, actually, Ben. It's huge. It's a tank. Yeah, it's an actual tank. It's got a massive big artillery gun on top. And I'm going to come and park it right outside your house and blow you away, you motherfucker.
Seems a bit harsh.
That was a bit. That one came over me then. It's not a tank. It's a 4x4. But you probably could mount a machine gun to it, you know, a bit like how the rebels do in various countries.
On the back of a Hilux?
Yeah.
You could put a Hilux in it.
Yeah, put Hilux on top of it first. And then put a 50 cal on the back. Yeah. Then you're sorted, aren't you? Take that, government forces. You'll never take me alive. I've got rebel in my heart.
Thanks for that, Johnny. Informative-ish.
Once again, Johnny shows us the way to do 30-second car reviews.
If you want to have a lot of fun in just 30 seconds, I'm your man. I'm going to talk about something that's annoyed me on Twitter.
Okay.
Well, it's not... This isn't... You know,
something. There's normally multiple things.
This is actually going to be multiple things, but...
Marvellous.
Here I am, tonight, sipping a nice whiskey, recording the podcast. This is a Johnny Walker Green Label, 15-year-old blended malt. It's really, really nice. It's a mixture of four distilleries, and it's pretty good value. I think it was about £30, which for a 15-year-old whiskey, even if it is kind of a blended malt, I think it's still good value because 15-year-old whiskies are expensive. But there has been another whiskey sold recently, and by recently we mean several weeks ago because we're Smooth Traffic and we're about 8 years behind the schedule. It is a 60-year-old bottle of Macallan, and it was sold for £848,750, which is just absolutely ridiculous, really. There comes a point, and actually this in general is ruining the whiskey market across the board at the moment, where whiskies are now becoming so collectible that people are actually stopping drinking whiskey altogether and purely collecting them. And this has had a knock-on effect on whiskey right the way down to, you know, the stuff that me and the average listener can afford, basically. So now, really...
Oh, well, let's not put the average listener down, John.
Well, okay. But no. Most whiskies, anything close to 20 years now is unaffordable. And that didn't always used to be the case, apparently, because I haven't been into whiskey that long. But there's kind of a cut-off point now between affordable and ridiculous. So basically, anything over 18 years old now, 18, 20 years old, that's going to be three figures. And anything over 20, 21, you're looking at probably £250 for a bottle. And this is all because the collectors and the prospectors at the higher end of the market are paying such ridiculous sums for stuff that it's filtered down, and now sort of anything can become collectible. This is one bottle of whiskey we're talking about, and it's Macallan. Now, Macallan is probably the most fashionable whiskey brand there is out there, especially in America. It's huge in America, and I've never had a Macallan, to be honest, so I don't know what it's like, can't tell you what it's like, but...
Aren't they expensive across the board, though, Macallans?
Macallans, you can get a Macallan in the supermarket for about £40, I think, and it'll be their entry level basic bottling, basically, probably no age statement and probably not particularly the best representation of what they can do. But there are so many good whiskies out there that are a decent price. Glenlivet 12, for example, that I managed to pick up. I think that was meant to be discontinued, but I've since seen it again, so I don't know now. Glenfiddich 15-year-old, which, you know, we had on the last podcast, that's a great whiskey. That's about £40 a bottle. That there are so many great whiskies that Macallan is trading off its name, really. And this bottle in particular has got a fancy label designed by some artist who I've never heard of, and won't be doing a Edge on Art segment about at any point in the future. But £848,000 for a single bottle of whiskey is absolutely ridiculous. When I went to the Scotch Whiskey Experience a while ago now, there was a bottle there that was 50 years old, and somebody from China had paid £36,000 for it. and spent the night drinking it with his mates. Fair enough. He was offered a £4,000 tax refund and said, nah, don't worry about it. It's mad. It's absolutely mad. And you know, I think this sort of thing can only go so long, can't it? Eventually, you know, Ben's the economist out of us three, probably. When spending is so big, there comes a point when that is going to come down massively. Something will happen and it will all go tits up, basically. And, you know, what happens to the whole whiskey industry then? You know, there are people building new distilleries and stuff. There are old distilleries that have previously died out that have just been brought back to life or are in the process of being brought back to life. If the arse falls out of the market suddenly, that's all going to be for nothing now. So there's these famous old names like Rosebank and Brora that are, you know, big distillery names that are coming back after being, you know, put out of business probably in the early 90s, something like that, because I think there was a crash around then. It makes me furious, really, because when you look at what other spirits cost, whiskey is out of control, basically. Whiskey is completely out of control. Unfortunately for me, it's the one I tend to like the most, but you can get a really good bottle of rum for £20. You can get a really good bottle of vodka for £20. To get a really good bottle of whiskey, you're probably looking at spending £40-50. And if you want an aged one, like most people want, you know, something a bit special, you're going to have to spend at least £100 now. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's making normal people, and let's not forget how whiskey began, you know, people hiding, you know, the distilling in the Scotland to make spirit for normal people, and now it's something that's purely becoming the preserve of, you know, people who have got far too much money and don't really know what's going on, and they're just trading whiskies and making the whole market unsustainable and difficult for everybody else who wants to enjoy it, basically.
Do you know what bothered me most about this sale? Why is it that it sold for £848,750?
Yeah, round
it up.
It's
a very specific amount.
Yeah.
Who said 847 and they went, yeah, go on 848. And then he said 848, 750. And they went, do you know what, I'm out. Like, when you're already prepared to spend 8,847,000, sorry, I don't know why you would stop at that point.
Yep. That's about the same price as a Ferrari F40. A good Ferrari F40. Mm. You know, an iconic machine. One bottle of whiskey, because it's Macallan. If it had a different name on it, that'd be nothing.
If it had Smooth Traffic on it,
I mean, you know what? I might start
at least
distilling.
750p.
John, we've warned you before about distilling things. Your experiments with distilling any kind of liquid are never productive.
I have never distilled piss.
No one's accusing you of that, Johnny.
I feel like this is a piss joke. Is this a piss joke?
You're taking the piss. Well, talking of Ferrari, John, I think I know what your next rant is going to be about. Mm. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, staying quiet.
You said you were going to explain on the next episode of the podcast.
It must really be hurting him.
This is...
And at MattB88, one of our followers on Twitter, accused you of sniffing glue regarding your comments on this. Do you stand by them?
So yeah, Matt, one of our avid listeners, lovely chap. Did he get married recently?
He did, actually. Yes, congratulations, Matt.
Congratulations.
Well
Matt.
Done.
Well done. Yes.
I can sense that John's now about to say something terrible to you.
Yeah, he's a bellend because he said... No, he's all right. He's all right. There's this company called Ares, I think, who have said that they can make your Ferrari GTC4 Lusso look like an old Ferrari 412. Except they can't. And this is complete bullshit. Because if you have a look at the pictures of this 412, this is a Photoshop image. This is one of those automotive stories you get in the press where it's never, ever going to happen. But, you know what, we'll put out a press release saying we can do it, even though, you know, it's never going to happen. There are several reasons why this won't happen. For a start, nobody is going to give their GTC4 Lusso to a bunch of lunatics to turn it into, to chop it up and turn it into a car from the 80s. Nobody is going to do that because Ferrari owners are very, very precious about their residual values, basically.
Also, why would you want to buy a Ferrari, a car like that, and then change it into a different car? That's ridiculous. Even if it wasn't a Ferrari, that's just a silly thing to do. We've talked about this before, haven't we, about people faking cars?
Yeah, it's just daft. It's bellendery, basically. The people that can afford a GTC4 Lusso, I'm going to trip up on that name in a minute because it's a dreadful name for a car, are people that could easily afford a 412 and perhaps probably already have a 412 anyway. You know, they're not going to just give their brand new Ferrari over to let Ares Design chop it up and put a body on it and, you know, and give it back to them, because it's going to completely destroy the car for a start, no matter what this company says. It'll completely destroy the car, and basically that's like throwing money down the toilet and then picking it back out of the toilet, wiping your ass with it, and then throwing it back down the toilet again. It's complete bullshit. You know what? From the pictures, it looks great, doesn't it? But this is the whole point in them putting out a press release like this, is to get a bit of attention. It's, again, it goes back to me saying I can build a 1,000 horsepower electric hypercar. You know, all I'm doing is looking for a bit of money. If you can give me £1 million and your old car, I can turn it into a 1,000 horsepower electric hypercar, no problem. And the company's going to be called Super Duper Johnny Buzz Buzz. And we're going to be the next big thing. You know, someone is going to type that up as a story, and all of a sudden you've got a load of publicity about your brand. This is exactly the same thing. Project Pony, they're calling it. Project Bullshit is what it should be called. It will never ever happen. It's computer design. It's a nice idea, but it will never happen, and they know it will never happen. And anyone who thinks it will happen is a complete bellend, and I hope they fall down the stairs. If they don't fall down the stairs, I'll give them a voucher so they can have a guaranteed fall down the stairs.
And if you want to question Johnny about that more, then don't forget to go to what was your car company called? Super Johnny Buzz Buzz?
Yeah.
At twister.com? I don't know.
And you know what? That's not even the most ridiculous electric supercar name that I've heard. Super Johnny Buzz Buzz. I mean, it sounds very Japanese. But anyway, fuck that company. Get on with doing some real stuff and stop bullshitting everyone, basically. And you know what, Matt?
You're all right.
Big news, guys. I've done a quiz. And I know we all like quizzes.
Hooray.
I actually love quizzes more than anyone else on this podcast. This better be good, Ben. Because if it's not good...
Well, normally I just make the appalling jingles, but this time I thought I'd wade in and do a quiz so you could all enjoy
it. So there's no jingle?
There is no jingle yet, but if this quiz goes down like an absolute storm, then I might do more.
So there's no jingle?
There is no jingle. We'll see how it goes.
We could try and beatbox a jingle if you want.
Could do, or we could just get on with it. So this is going to be a nice... simple higher or lower quiz for you, Johnny. Keep it simple for you. This one is going to be specifically around F1 collectible merchandise. So I hope you've been swatting up on that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I've done loads. Six sure pages today, actually.
Expensive F1 merchandise.
First of all, I didn't know we were meant to be researching this.
Oh, well, you should have thought about that before you
secondly,
doing your research.
Pretty sure I've heard this format of quiz on another podcast before, Ben.
Whatever.
Higher or lower on memorabilia?
No. I've got to stop recommending podcasts.
Oh, it's like that Bruce Forsyth show that he did.
Yeah, that's right. Play your cards right.
Yeah.
It's not a unique format, I'll give you that. Right, anyway. So, very first one. I mean, you can't really go higher or lower on this one, so I'm going to just pick a random number. £100, right? So, this first thing. Is it more or less than £100? This is a clock... made out of an F1 gear ratio.
Higher.
Higher than £100 from Johnny?
Yep.
In the interests of keeping the quiz going, lower. I'd have said higher, but lower.
Well, you know, you can agree with Johnny if you like, but, you know.
No, I'm committing now.
Can I guess the price as well, Ben?
So, okay, so to and for a bonus point, so each round I'm going to give you a chance for a bonus point. Actually, do you know what? You can have a wild card as well. At any point, you can chuck in your wild card before a round and get double points if you're that confident.
This feels like a pretty unplanned quiz.
Where is the wild card, Ben, and how do I chuck it at you?
It's becoming more planned as we go through it.
So, I hate you, Ben.
Johnny, you say higher. It was indeed higher than £100. And if you can guess the value of the item within £10, then I'll give you another point.
Within £10?
Yep.
Fuck's sake. What kind of quiz is this?
Kingy, you can guess as well.
Can we before we do this, can we make a rule that the other person does not just go a pound either side of the amount of the first person? Because that's bellendery of the highest order.
Yeah, no, completely agree. Because both you and I would do that, John. So
we covered every base there.
And also I'd lie just to wind you both up, but I'll promise not to do that either. Right, go on then. So £100, reckon... you said higher, and... Johnny, you were correct. It was higher, and if you can guess...
It's a gear ratio, is it? Yeah. I reckon it'd be £395.
Okay, Kingy?
I mean, I think that's a lot. I don't think it'd be that much. Like 150, maybe? 160?
Kingy, you were closest. It was at £129. That's a point Ooh. Each for round one. So it was a genuine race-used gear one, F1 gear ratio. It doesn't say from which car.
The reason I guessed is because I was in the Ferrari shop once and I saw some valves, and there was some race-used valves from one of Michael Schumacher's Ferrari, and they were £280.
Oh, cool.
So I thought I'd go a bit higher.
Yeah, nice.
So, from £129, the next item is a Lewis Hamilton 2018 half-scale helmet.
No pounds.
So you're going lower than 129, was it? I need to keep that. Yeah, so you're going lower then, at zero pounds.
Okay. So a half-scale helmet.
Which is funny, as Hamilton is a massive helmet.
There's no display case with this one, in case you're factoring that in.
Yeah, higher.
No, Johnny is correct. With it is lower.
Right, okay. This is going
not
well.
£0. Can you guess how much it's worth for a bonus point?
£90.
Kingy, advances on £90.
I reckon it's still going to be over 100. £100. Or is that too close? Is that too close to be a bit of a
bonus? No, that's fine, no. King.
£100.
It was 120, so Kingy, you get another point there. So it's two apiece so far.
So I failed to get the right way either time.
Yeah, but you're at least getting better at guessing the amount. This one I'm going to ask you to guess with a different amount, I think. So anyway, this one is a Lewis Hamilton 2014 brake disc table. So they've taken a used brake disc from one of his cars in 2014 and made it into a nice little table. Just a little round one.
Hang on, how big's a brake disc?
And it's handcrafted into a solid oak table.
Hard on.
Exactly. Looks nice, actually. But how much do you think? Do you think that is more or less than?
Did you say it's handcrafted into a solid oak table?
Yeah, I pretty much answered that for you, haven't I? So is it higher or lower than £120?
Higher.
It's definitely higher.
Right. Cool. Both.
We're going to agree on this.
Yep. And within £100. No, let's say the nearest £50.
Ooh.
How much it's worth?
£500. No, hang on. Solid oak.
Yeah. It's only small, by the way. It's literally.
Yeah, I take it as brake disc size, probably.
Yeah, it's like a little bit bigger than a brake disc, yeah.
How tall is it?
Oh, it's like, I don't know, it's a side table.
Side table.
A few foot.
How much does it weigh?
Unspecified.
Yeah, no, I'll stick with it. £500. Let's go £500.
£500, Johnny?
£697.12.
It is £799, so Johnny, you are closer.
Hashtag cashback.
Nice.
So that is 4-3 to Johnny.
Who the fuck is paying that for a fucking brake disc?
Lewis Hamilton, probably.
You think he's buying his own?
Loves himself, doesn't he? Bellend.
So, this one, I had no idea how much this would be worth for myself, so I'll see if you've got any idea, because you might have a better guess. It is a F1 Opus Champions Edition. It is a book signed by all living F1 world champions. I can list them for you if you like, or are you just happy to go
All
ahead?
Living F1 world champions. Living at what point?
At the point when it was made, I presume.
When was it made?
I think it's about a year old. Do you want me to list them for you, and then you might be able to help?
Yeah, why not?
So it is apparently, and so some have died since, I think. So Sir Jack Brabham, Phil Hill, John Surtees, Sir Jackie Stewart, Emerson Fittipaldi, Niki Lauda, Mario Andretti, Jody Scheckter, Alan Jones, Nelson Piquet, Kiki Rosenberg, Alan Prost, Nigel Mansell, Schumacher have signed it a lot of times, obviously. Damon Hill, Villeneuve, Mick Häkkinen, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Räikkönen, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button and Sebastian Vettel have all signed this item. Is it more or less?
It makes it about 3-4 years old, doesn't it?
Than the £800 or £799 brake disc table.
I reckon it's lower.
I'm inclined to go lower.
Lower than £800.
I feel like an absolute fucking one of those legend people on Bargain Hunt now. You know those legend people that like know everything, and they're like, oh yeah, I think the estimate's like £20-40 on that. They paid £57 for that. Oh, I don't think we'll see much profit on that one, shall we?
So, you are both wrong. It is higher than £799.
No, it's not, because really? You said you didn't know what the price is.
Well, I didn't know. I do know what it is. I didn't when I looked at it. I had no comprehension of what that might be worth. So,
what?
So what Ben's saying is that he didn't feel that he could put a price on it because he didn't understand the true value of it. Whereas we understand the true value of it and we think it's overpriced.
Yeah, so exactly. So it was more than £800, and I will let you guess to the nearest £1,000 on this one.
To the nearest £1,000?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off.
£6,212.
King?
12p as well.
To the nearest thousand makes me think that it's going to be obscenely expensive. What did you say, John? Six grand something.
6,200, yeah, but it's got Lewis Hamilton's signature in it, so that devalues it by about 1,000,000%.
Yeah, but it's got Jackie Stewart's signature as well, so, you know, swings and roundabouts. It's just a book, though.
It's just a book.
Is it made out of diamonds, Ben?
Part of me feels like I should go for some absurd
amount. It just
looks
like a nice sort of like silver embroidered front. It's not that exciting.
To the nearest grand, it's got to be stupid money, hasn't it? 12 grand.
You are both way out, but Kingy, you are closest. So there's a point for you, Kingy.
Oh, fuck off, am I closest? It's more than 12 grand.
It is £20,000.
For a book.
For a book.
To be fair, King, it's a lot cheaper than some bottles of whiskey.
Right, cool. So anyway, so £20,000. So this next one is probably going to be a little bit closer to that number, I guess.
Lower.
Maybe not. Lower. You're going for lower. Okay, let me tell you what it is first, and then you can continue with that guess of lower.
Lower.
It is a 2012 Lotus engine cover.
Lower.
So it is the full sort of...
Oh, well, so the whole back end of the...
Yeah, basically. It's race used as well, I should point out.
Yeah, it's got to be lower, hasn't it?
Lotus F1 team engine cover raced on the E20 car in the 2012 as driven by Kimi Räikkönen. A genuine piece of team heritage from the season.
It's got to be lower. You're not telling me it's 20 grand for that. What is it? Just what's it made? Is it carbon fibre or something similar?
It might be candy floss.
Probably. Yeah, it might be recyclable. Cool. Okay, so both of
Did you say it was
correct.
Driven
it
by Kimi?
It was less than that. To be fair, it might be that other chap. Question.
Vitaly Petrov.
Yeah, no.
Who? Sorry, Ben?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you say that again?
it's breaking up, sorry.
I think Grosjean, was it?
Oh, sorry, Gary Grosjean.
Gary Grosjean. Yeah.
Roman Grosjean.
Sorry.
What a fucking cultural void you are, Ben. Fucking hell.
Anyway, so...
I'm impressed he said Räikkönen right there.
I'd better give me Räikkönen.
Because he won a race.
I'd have been Räikkönen, wouldn't I?
Kaimi Räikkönen.
So anyway, how is it? So you said lower. I will accept to the nearest £500 for this one.
Ooh.
What's it worth? It's five apiece, by the way. We're neck and neck at the moment.
£11,151.12.
Okay, Kingy.
That seems a lot. And I'm basing this on the fact that you've said to the nearest £500.
See, Johnny never picks up on these clues.
To the nearest £500. I reckon £5,500.
Yeah, you're way over, actually, both of you, but King, you're closest. It's £1,100, which I think is quite good value. Just over a grand for a...
Yeah, but what would you do with it?
I mean, they've got a picture of it hanging on a wall, but, you know... It's a bit weird, to be honest with you.
I think I'd turn it upside down and use it as a planter.
Could do. When you see
what,
it,
like an old bath?
Yeah.
It's probably not ideal for that. But anyway. So the next thing. So that was £1,100. The next one is a 2015 end plate. It's the right-hand side end plate. As driven by Lewis Hamilton in the Mercedes AMG Petronas.
Why are you just finding Lewis Hamilton shit all the time, Ben? Are you trying to wind me up?
Because I know it winds you up. So this is
a fucking voucher.
Part of his car.
No.
And it was... It's race-driven, and it has been framed professionally.
Is this the front wing end plate?
I'm not 100% sure.
It's not the end plate from the end of the car, is it, Ben?
Do you know what? I tried to work out where it was, and I couldn't be sure. So I just thought, hopefully they won't ask.
I mean, surely... So what was the last one? £1,100?
Yeah. So this is in a frame, this one. So it's obviously...
Ooh, it's in a frame. Well,
higher. I'm going to go higher.
Professionally framed. Higher than £1,100, Kingy?
£1,100 for the back end of the car.
Which is massive, obviously. It's like... What's that, like 6-8 foot?
Or the end plate. I'm going to go lower, I think.
Lower?
Yeah.
Johnny, you went higher, didn't you, than 1,100?
Yeah, higher.
Yeah, it was indeed higher. So you are, again, neck and neck at six piece.
Yeah, fuck you, King.
Within £100, can you guess the value?
Higher than £100.
£2,495.12.
Yeah, see, now I feel that you've gone a bit high, but then I thought it was going to be less than 1,100 quid, so...
Yes.
2,300. No, 2,200. No.
I'm going to take your first answer, King.
Okay.
Yeah, stop.
Johnny was very close.
Ooh.
He said 2,495, and it was actually 2,450. So ooh. Pretty close, Johnny. You can definitely have a point for that. Well played. Right, so...
Wild card. I'm cashing in the wild card, Ben. Ben, I want to cash in the wild card.
You're cashing the wild card for this one?
Yep.
This one.
What does the wild card do, Ben?
Double points.
Double points, right, okay.
Right. Are you sure you want your wild card on this one, King? Johnny?
Wild card.
Wild card, right. You saving yours, King?
I respect that, John. You jump. How many questions are left?
Three or four? Yeah, four more.
I'll hang on to it just in case I need to make a late search.
Okay, so this is so it was £2,450. The next one is the McLaren MP4 Senna 1/8 scale model. A fine 1/8 large scale collector's model of the McLaren MP4 as raced to victory in the 1988 Japanese Grand Prix.
Well, it wasn't, was it? Because it's only 1/8 the size, so it couldn't have been actually raced to victory, Ben. That car, I think you'll find, is a model car. So,
how about that? Sure?
Also.
So, £2,450, Johnny, higher or lower?
Higher.
Kingy, higher or lower?
Yeah, this feels like the kind of thing that's going to be silly expensive.
It's only a model.
Yeah, but then it's not a book, is it? So, I'm going to join Johnny with a risky higher.
It is higher. Point each.
Ooh.
I reckon to within...
Doesn't John get 2 points?
Oh yeah, he did. Thank you for that.
Yeah, fuck you, King. Lol.
I just helped you get that extra point. Fuck you.
Some good honesty from you, King.
Just about to say,
I'm always tempted to give you a bonus point for that, but I think that's probably poor form. So, within, let's say, the nearest 100, can you guess the value?
£8,350 and 12 pence.
That seems crazy. £5,000. No. Oh. That seems a bit much too. It's a fucking model.
Yeah, that book was only a fucking book, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That makes you want to go much higher. But Ben said the nearest 100, so it can't be that much higher.
Do 100 grand, King. Go on. All in. 100 grand.
5 grand. 100 grand. Let's stick with 5 grand.
5 grand. It's £5,990.
Oh, fuck off, is it?
It's...
For a model?
Yeah.
So I win, yeah?
No.
John, I think we should boycott this quiz. The prices here are fucking ridiculous.
I might have to ask you to, when you listen back to the recording, King, if you could do the scores properly, because I've just been giving you points for whoever's closest rather than if you get it close. So I've just realised that mistake. So I'm just going to carry on as I was.
Okay, so some of the points that you've been giving us might not even be relevant.
No.
Right, okay.
I'm just going to go for whoever's closest. I'm changing it now. I keep saying to the nearest 100, but actually I'm just saying whoever gets closest.
So when I get to this point in the recording, what do you want me to do?
Oh, whatever you like.
Am I assigning the ones to date, the ones we've already done based on the details that you've given, like within the nearest 100, or am I just giving it to the nearest one?
Yeah, we'll just give it to the nearest. It's fine.
Right, okay.
You can leave all this in just to explain how badly organised we are.
Well, no, it's only how badly organised you are.
Yeah.
Get down the stairs, Ben.
How many are left?
Three more.
Right, okay.
Wild card.
So
you can't play another one, John.
So, as you can imagine, I'm getting slightly more ridiculous with these. So this is...
Well, yeah, £6,000 for a fucking model.
Yeah, £5,190. Madness. Johnny is only 1 point ahead at the moment by my dodgy scoring, but that's fine.
That means I'm 9 points down, doesn't it?
So the next one... It's a full-size Kimi Raikkonen...
Helmet. Yeah.
It is a limited edition replica. So it is a replica of his 2017 racing helmet. Only 7 were produced, so it's very exclusive. And it is signed by Kimi Raikkonen.
Ooh. That's a lovely piece of memorabilia, that, isn't it, King?
That's delightful.
So, is it higher or lower than £5,990?
Oh, it's got to be higher. Surely that's higher. For the love of God, that's got to be higher.
I'm going to go lower.
It is now neck and neck, because that was higher. So, to give you a guide...
within the nearest £100,000...
Yeah, I reckon nearest... Guess £500 this time. Aim for.
aim for, but you're going to give someone a point.
Maybe it's £200. I'm going to get you a point if you get close anyway, because
so,
I buggered that up.
Do you want me to go back through when I'm... just to be clear about this, do you want me to assign any bonus points if anyone does get it within that little threshold
let's do
that.
That
you've set?
Can I have a bonus point for knowing that it was going to be a helmet before he said helmet?
But all right then, can you... So you get a bonus point if you get it within the amount that I... threshold that I specify. But you will get a point for being closest to either way. Right. So
£10,111... And 12 pence.
Okay. Kingy, it was more than 5,990.
Yeah, see, I was going to go 10 grand, but...
Is it as good as a book of signatures?
Well, probably not, to be fair, in the grand scheme of... As much as I'd love a signed Kimi Räikkönen helmet, probably in the grand scheme of collectibles, a book of signatures of all of the living Formula One world champions.
Actually, some are dead.
At the time of the book being produced.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 grand.
Johnny went 10,111.
Have I gone too close?
I think you have.
And 12.
That's poor form.
Okay.
Go 100 grand, King. Go on, all in. 100 grand. 100 grand. 100 grand.
No, I'm a safety sid, Johnny. Nine grand?
9 grand. It was 7,350. So you
what?
Get a point for being closest. So
there is no logic to
helmet.
This is the point, King. It's supposed to be a challenge. So yeah, £7,350 for a signed replica helmet. I thought that's well expensive, but quite collectible. So, that's
can you
cool.
wear it?
I mean,
so well, if it's full size, yeah, why not?
Presumably so.
As
yeah.
long as your head isn't bigger than Kimmy's.
But if it's a replica, what if you fall down the stairs while you're wearing your Kimmy helmet and it just breaks?
More importantly, if it's a replica, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can get your head in it. They might have like filled over the bottom, so you can't put your head in it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
only a replica.
It is on a plate of some description, so it depends if it's secured on.
Just walk around the house wearing it.
So, next one, guys. This one, Johnny, I'm expecting...
How many left?
Two more.
Two.
Do you want to use your wild card yet?
Yes, let's wild card it up.
Right, unfortunately, this is an art piece, so
oh,
Johnny should
fuck.
Almost certainly win this one. So...
Fucking love art.
7,350 to beat. This is an original piece of art. It's... Schumacher Hockenheim 2006 is the name of the piece by Armin Flossdorf, and it has been signed by Schumacher himself. So, it's a painting of him racing his Ferrari around the Hockenheim circuit.
What type of painting is it, Ben?
It's acrylic paint, a lead pencil on canvas.
I love how you were ready for that question, Ben.
Obviously.
Or it seems like you were ready.
How big's the canvas, Ben?
Canvas measures 2.15 by 1.25 metres.
Ooh, crikey.
Decent size, to
chunky.
Be fair.
And this is quite amusing. They can frame it for you, but if not, the canvas will be dispatched rolled in a tube for you to frame locally.
What?
I know, I'm looking at that thinking, what a fucking nonsense thing is that? 7,350, higher or lower?
I'm going to go higher.
Johnny?
I'm going to go higher as well, yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be worth a few quid.
It is higher. It is... Oh yeah, I'm not going to say, am I?
yeah, tell us how much it is. This is on my Joker.
Yeah. oh yeah, you get 2 points for that. Well done, Rob. You are 2 points ahead now, Johnny. You need to pull your finger out.
Fuck off.
If you can guess this within the nearest 500, you get a bonus point.
Nearest 500, okay.
£9,851 and 12 pence.
The 12p that could just take you into that £500.
Oh, what if it does?
I mean, I'm not very good at making... Very precise guesses. 11 grand.
Add 12p, King.
11 grand and 12p.
Good guess.
Yeah. Thanks, King. Thanks, John.
On your wild card round, you were the closest. It was 12
oh,
grand.
Get him!
Fuck off.
Get him!
Fuck off. Get down.
You've smashed that. 4 points on that round. Yes, £12,000, and they're prepared to roll it in a tube for you to frame yourself.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine
how
that.
Much do they tell you how much they charge you for the frame?
Please contact us for delivery and framing and pricing options. Yeah.
So, £4. £4 for the frame.
An issue. Yeah.
Well, they're prepared to roll it up, so what's
that's
the point
mad,
of putting a
it?
Decent frame
I mean,
on
it's
it?
It's a kick-ass photo, painting, sorry, but I'm not convinced by that.
Van Gogh's Starry Night, that was a kick-ass photo as well.
It was.
A great photo.
Well played, Johnny.
All of Monet's work, great photo collection, that. Tremendous.
So, 12 grand, higher or lower, guys? The final one. This is Jenson Button's 2004 Bar Honda F1 car. So,
the actual car?
This 2004 Bar Honda F1 car was Jenson Button's race car during the 2004 F1 season and is in immaculate condition. The car chassis, chassis number 060/002 helped Jenson Button to his first podium place and achieve a third in the 2004 Drivers' Championship.
I'm confused. Is this a bar or a car?
It's a bar. Bar Honda.
I think he means the BAR, John.
That's a bar.
Higher. Because if it's less than 12 grand, then there's a real problem here.
So it's
is it in one piece?
Yeah, it's a, oh, good a question. Complete rolling chassis with original race car wishbones, pushrods, drive shafts, late spec aerodynamics, and all bodywork. It is apparently in exceptional condition, lovingly cared for by its previous owner, and they can supply the car with aftercare support plus a professionally fitted Cosworth engine, electronics, cooling, and oil systems if required for additional cost.
Ah, the Honda Cosworth.
What an engine.
So, Kingy, you're going higher than 12 grand?
Higher than 12 grand. And if it isn't, I'm retiring from this podcast.
Johnny? Please be lower. yeah, I'm going higher.
Yeah, it is, of course, higher. And I reckon if you can get to the nearest £1,000, then you deserve a medal.
The nearest £1,000?
Ben, if I get this to the nearest £1,000, will you actually get me a medal made that says, Johnny, you're a fucking legend, written on it?
Yes.
Cool, okay.
I'll get you some sort of trophy. So, nearest £1,000. What is Jenson Button's...
Go for 100,000, John. Do it!
There you are.
100 grand, King. 100 grand. I don't think this is going to be as much as you think. I reckon I'm going to go £44,000.
Oof.
And 12 pence.
Kingy?
Well, in my lack of exciting thoughts, I was just thinking 50k sounds good, but John is tempting me to go lower.
What did you say, Johnny?
£44,000.
And 12 pence.
And 12 pence.
Yeah, no, I'll stick with 50k. And 12p. I'd like to add 12p.
Okay.
Good guess, King.
You are closer. Yes. It is £60,000.
Okay.
So there you go. How exciting. So, yes.
So we don't know who's won, but it's probably King. Well, because King, he has a few more points than me at the moment.
According to Ben's
five
scoring.
5 points ahead. So unless he gets any bonus points. Unless you get...
Well, John will definitely get a bonus point because he was really close on one of them, wasn't he?
He was. So that's at least one. I don't think anyone else was that close for any of the others.
Also, so. I managed to guess...
Helmet.
...that it was a
so
helmet.
So we were giving you a bonus point for that, weren't we?
I think we said five, actually.
No, we agreed on one.
So there you go. So if that's the case, I would assume that...
And then Ben said that I could have a bonus point for reminding him that it was
your
joke.
Honesty. So that's two bonus points for Johnny, one for Kingy, which makes it...
But then we take the one off for me, because that seems grossly unfair, because it's unrelated to the actual quiz. I was just helping
And he's
Ben
a bell end. And so he's
Kingy,
a bell end as well.
You won 16 to 13. Well done.
Yay!
You know your F1 sport memorabilia better than I, apparently.
Well, I was going to say...
With my bar cars.
I wouldn't say I know it better than John, but I think John and I have proven we know it better than you. Well, that's the end of another fun-packed episode of Smooth Traffic, and you'll be amazed to know that Ben's scorekeeping was actually spot on, and it was in fact 16-13 to me, so somehow, well done Ben for keeping track, even though you had no idea how you were actually scoring it until about halfway through the quiz. Anyway... If you've enjoyed this for some weird sadistic reason and you want to hear more, then obviously subscribe to us via your podcatching service. And please rate and review us because it really helps, apparently. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter and don't already, you can follow us at Smooth Traffic. We all have our individual Twitter handles as well, so I could give those to you, but I'd rather encourage you to go back and listen to earlier episodes where we've already given those Twitter handles out. Or if you're smart enough, just... have a look on Twitter for us. There'll be a few more videos coming out from us following our SMMT reviews from the last episode, so keep an eye out on YouTube for those. And until episode 54, drive safe and don't take heroin.